Welcome to Radio Gorgeous. Josephine and Donna are back. Welcome back, Josephine.
Hello.
We've been on a bit of a hiatus, have we not?
Yes.
However, we've both been busy.
Very.
And we're here to talk about what you've been up to and what's coming up for you. We're sitting here in your boudoir, your performance boudoir, which has been transformed. There's red feathers, there's pink feathers, there's black feathers, there's photographs of pussies galore, there's gold outfits. What is this all in aid of?
This is a one-woman show I'm putting on at Edinburgh Festival and more.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's called The Working Girls of Soho, Saucy Tales of Notorious Women.
Okay.
So right up our street.
Right up our street. Truly right up your street.
Yes. Because I lived in Soho. Yeah, I lived in Soho in the 80s, which is like saying that you lived in, I don't know, Berlin between the walls. I mean, it's got street cred that really shocks me.
You were cabaret. There
exactly.
You are.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me more about the show. Tell me about like how it came about.
Well, the show it evolved because I was sitting next to a man called Giles Brandreth at dinner. And I said, oh, I really like podcasting, but I think I'm going to get back on the stage. I haven't been on it for about 12 years. And he said, well, Josephine, you can't just be a singer. You've got to have a story. You've got to look at your life and think, what can you take from that? So that was how I started thinking of the Working Girls of Soho, because I realised that, you know, that was an exciting time in my life. Also, there are many women in Soho whose stories, the usual thing about women, have not been heard. So I remembered stories from when I lived there, from hanging out and all the bohemians and wild drunks that I met and felt very, very in tune with, because I was one as well. And then also I did, because of my Radio Gorgeous experience, I did lots of research and I have uncovered so many women. I haven't been able to put them all in.
Wow. So, and was Soho started by women? I mean, it was certainly started with women.
It was. The first ever private members club owner and runner in Soho was a woman.
Wow.
And she pandered to the rich, because the first people to live in Soho were the very aristocrats, because they wanted to get away from the stinky city. And the name Soho is a hunting cry, and it's from when they used to hunt hares. So it must have been Soho was built in a field full of hares. What a lovely thought.
Hares and whores.
Yeah, hares. And then the whores were brought in, obviously, by the... And she put on the biggest parties in Soho, in Soho Square, and the whole top floor was dedicated to bedrooms, so everyone could... do it with each other. And on the ground floor, there'd be rooms done up spectacularly in Chinese yellow silk. There was one room that was done up with, the whole floor was made of grass and it was exotic flowers and in there. It was like a sort of hot house, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I know. And they had musicians and parties and balls. But the thing that she specialised in, because she was Italian, she had everything against her when she arrived. She was an Italian, she was called Teresa Cornelis. She was Italian, Venetian. She was a single parent mother. She couldn't speak a word of English. She was on the wrong side of 35. And she had one of her bastard children was Casanova's daughter.
Oh my God.
So she had a bit of a past. She arrived completely flat broke. And within 6 months of her arrival, she managed to persuade a married Norfolk vicar, who she was having sex with, to rent to the largest mansion in Soho Square, and she knew how to put on masquerades. Masquerades are balls which are Venetian in origin, and you wear a mask, which means, again, we're talking about sex a lot in this, you could have sex with anyone because you didn't know who they were. So women who were meant to be like a little bit proper could sort of put on a mask and do anything.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so she was the proprietress of a club and she made a fortune. The only trouble is she spent a fortune as well. The usual. Yeah.
The boom and the bust.
Yeah, and she ended up, the best thing about her was that she ended, this is my favourite tale, is that she ended up living in the little hamlet of Knightsbridge where she kept ewes and she used to sell ewes milk.
Oh yeah. My God. Yeah. She was... She did what everyone in the 80s did. So you started off in Soho.
Yeah.
And then you become a gentlewoman farmer.
Exactly. Yeah. You leave
organic farmer.
Yeah. No, she's absolutely inspiring. Yeah, she's... Unfortunately, I'm not mentioning her in the Edinburgh show. I've got lots of other women in it because I've had to shorten the show a bit, Donna.
All right.
Because it's only 50 minutes.
It's 50 minutes.
Yeah, of singing, dancing, storytelling and...
It seems like a lot of costume changes as well, from what I can see.
Yeah.
It looks fabulous.
A lot of costume changes, yeah.
A lot of props, costume changes, added value, razzmatazz, razzle-dazzle. All right, so, but tell me about, like, how did you pick the songs? You've woven the stories of women of Soho throughout the show, but do the songs have particular meaning to you as well?
Yes. Because in the end, darling, it's all about me, of course.
No,
but I have to, you know, I'm the storyteller, so I have to be involved emotionally. And the songs resonate with me, but also it was trying to find songs that were bad girl songs, which isn't quite, you know, that hard, because a lot of the songs were written by men who project badness onto women, as we know. So really, I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but the songs... Well, they're moving and very funny. And some are sad, some are entertaining. Again, the costume changes. In fact, I become different personalities for each song. This isn't just me singing. I become a different person.
Yeah. So you're really reclaiming the stories of these women.
Yes.
And also reclaiming and celebrating your former life as well.
Yes, I do have a former life because I... I've just got divorced after 27 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So back to your roots.
Yeah. So I've never done Edinburgh before. I've only been there as a punter. So as soon as, you know, I realised, oh, I want to put on this show a few nights. Hang on a minute. Oh, I'll go in 2023. I'll look it up now. I looked it up. It said this was in February. It said, you've got to say yes in 5 days. I thought, oh, to hell with it. I'm going to do it this year. I'm doing it in 2022. On the last week, which is when all the newbies come on. So it's all the new shows, which apparently excites the critics much, much more.
Well, I'm certainly hoping the critics are thrilled. Give us some of the flavour of your life in Soho when you were living there.
Okay, so I literally... I've been so many things in my life. I've been the naughtiest girl in school. I wanted to be a fairy as a child and then a Hollywood movie star. Then I came to London and I wanted to be the trendiest girl in town, and I became the wild girl in nightclubs. And then I found my sort of complete... I had a spiritual moment when I arrived in Soho on the back of a motorbike, age 19. This rather lovely Glaswegian man, who rather liked Stolichnaya, brought me up to Soho. I met him in a private view in Chelsea, and he brought me on the back of his bike up to Soho. And I walked into this pub called the French House, and I literally knew these were my people. I literally had found they were drunks, alcoholics. They were funny. They were abusive. They were entertaining. They were all artists, poets, writers. I realized then that I, you know, it's bohemian life for me all the way. Yeah.
So it's when you started embracing the creative side of your life as opposed to the destructive side
of your life. I'd already been in my band and written songs and, you know, done all that sort of things. That was Jozo and the Fiends. But this was finding my... I hate the word tribe. It's so overdone, darling. But it was my... I found my métier and I made the closest friends then and friends I've never seen again, of course. And I just... A typical day there would be you wake up, get a takeaway from Patisserie Valerie, croissants and coffee, then sort of slowly get dressed and then do a bit of sort of like working on my keyboard or whatever, writing songs. Then at lunchtime, I'd go to this brilliant takeaway and get soup with... Oh, I know, but I went to Cranks and got soup and wholemeal bread. And then I'd go swimming in Marshall Street, baths, all have a bath there, because where I lived only had a shower and it had baths there. So there were loads of down and outs and me.
Like you said, your tribe.
Yeah, exactly. So there were kind of really strange people in there. But, you know, I was having baths and it was great because, you know, I love a bath. And then I'd start getting ready for the evening, which would mean at about 6 o'clock, always I'd have a beer and some cashew nuts. And then I'd hit the town and usually I'd have supper as well. And then I'd get so drunk that about 4 a.m, I'd have a Chinese or something.
Constantly eating.
Constantly eating and drinking. In fact, one
and singing.
I mean, I can't remember one day, to be honest. It's all a bit of a blurb. It really is.
It was just the nights.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember those.
You had a club, Night of the Ultra Vixens. Tell me a bit about that. Because that was really the heyday of pussy's galore and pussy power.
Yeah, well, that was after I'd been thrown out of drama school. There's nothing like being thrown out of places, which I am. The only job I've ever kept was the one at BBC Radio Bristol. And in the end, they wouldn't. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Yeah, but that's the only job I haven't been sacked from. Yeah, so I went to. So suddenly, a bit older in my life, I started going to the City Lit in the evenings and going to drama classes and things, and thought, I want to be an actress. I've never been one, you know. So I got in, and then after 2 terms, they chucked me out. And that made me so angry. And there's nothing like anger. Can't bother to be angry now, but in your 20s, you can't bother to be angry. And so angry that I put all this anger into creating a band, which were an inspiration because I was driving around Soho one night in my vintage BMW, my first car, and it came to me in a flash that I was Pussy Galore out of Goldfinger. And that's it. I'm going to start an all-female club act. It was really good. It was the early 90s when nightclubs were absolutely banging. Don't know whether that word is in there. And it was just easy to get gigs because we were a PA, you know, so we just turned up. So we performed just bloody everywhere. And it was 3 girls. I invented them. I created them. I got the, you know, I did the styling. I was the PR. I wrote the music. It's a bit similar to now in the way that I was totally in charge. And I absolutely loved it because I found when I was in bands before and everyone tried to be equal, nothing happened. Someone's got to be in charge. I mean, Mick Jagger is, as we know, and I'm sort of, yeah. I'm Michaela Jaggerette.
Well, and also you don't fire yourself. So that's true. One advantage.
True.
All right, so please tell me, where in Edinburgh is the show? When is the show? Give us all the details.
Okay, so the show is on at a place called Greenside, who are so cool. I mean, you know, every act is sort of very subversive and strange and weird, so I'll definitely fit in. And they've got 3 different venues, and I'm at Infirmary Street, which sounds like a hospital, and it's on the south side of Edinburgh, which I think sort of near Waverley Station, where you come in. And I'm on from the 23rd till the 27th of August, and the tickets are £12. Everything's gone up in the whole world, apart from tickets for bloody Edinburgh.
Some things remain constant.
I know. And it's £10 for the unemployed and old people, so you're very welcome as well. And babes in arms are invited, but you can't come in unless you're 16 plus because of swearing and performances of a sexual nature during the show.
Oh my God, 50 minutes of...
Yeah.
Hanky panky.
Yeah, it's all. I literally reveal... Well, I don't reveal all, actually, but there's a few surprises.
Excellent. Oh my goodness, congratulations. Oh. And have you been doing the show, you know?
Yes, I've done this prior. I've done it, but obviously I've made the show shorter because I'm only allowed 50 minutes. Normally it's a 2-act show and I'm performing in... Just keep tabs on me because I've already got 2 bookings in Soho in the autumn.
22. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Right. Where can people find and keep tabs on you?
Okay. Well, if you want to buy a ticket or more information about me, you go to radiogorgeous.com or you just go to Edinburgh Fringe and you just type in when they say Edinburgh Fringe tickets and you just type in the Working Girls of Soho or Josephine Pembroke. And I will come up and you will come and see me and I will have a drink with you afterwards, darling. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
www.radiogorgeous.com. Podcast for women.